Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling Art with Chris Stings.
Do the hammer.
Everybody's doing it. Oh, hi there, friends. Chris Things here, Chris Things Brian. Your host, your pal, your wrestling art dude. We're here. Welcome to another edition of Wrestling Art with Chris Things. We're here to chat a little bit of wrestling, a little bit of match of the week goodness. Yeah, we're back to our match of the week series here, where the way this works, in case you're new to the show, in case you've somehow just stumbled on in, this is just somehow pilfered into your download list. This is the thing where I pick my favorite match that I happen to watch that week. I make an illustration about it that I post on my Instagram every Friday morning or Thursday night, perhaps in America. That being at Instagram.com/ChrisThings. And then I do a podcast where I have some of my dearest friends in the whole wide world come on, and we talk about said match. We talk a little bit about said illustration. We talk a whole bunch of nonsense. And that's the deal, you know. I really enjoy doing this, actually. It's like, you know, that we'll have Brad joining us later in the show to talk two tremendous matches that I really enjoyed. The first being Dr. Wagner Jr. versus Atlantis, and you may say, hey Chris, I think this is a repeat. I think you've done this before. Yes, I have done it before, because it's my first ever repeat match of the week. Legitimately, I try to keep this thing real with you, alright? If this thing is meant to be the match that I most enjoyed on whatever given week, and when I last time did the show with Ben, when we were re-watching that tremendous Dr. Wagner Jr., versus Atlantis match, you know, that legit, when we rewatched it, I was like, man, that was the best thing I watched all week again. So it became my first ever 2 week in a row match of the week. I did a brand new illustration of it, at a, you know, secondary kind of take, I guess, a little bit different from the norm, but yeah, that was a lot of fun. So joining me will be Brad. We're talking about that match, and then we're also talking about an absolutely incredible Aja Kong versus Kaoru match from Gaia from the early 2000s as well. Two very different matches, two equally amazing matches. I don't know. We're going to get into the nuts and bolts of it later, but I'm looking forward to having Brad on the show then, and that's what I mean why I love this show. Brad, you may have remembered, a previous guest of the show, a previous fancy yourself a little bit of a wrestling artist from time to time. Brad has joined in on our wrestling art gimmick back when we had our little competition last year, our You Draw the Match of the Week competition. Brad had a tremendous entry And he's done a bunch of little different wrestling art illustrations over the years, even, you know, some birthday cards for me. But I'm very much looking forward to talking all about that with Brad, and also a little something surprise that he sent me and the opening of my latest solo show, the big one that's currently up on the art wall of Scratch. Chris Things 2025 Los Luchadores versus Alien Invaders. Yes, this is my latest luchador cowboy gimmick show. This time, instead of wrestling, fighting skeleton cowboys, they're fighting off an alien invasion. I just have fun doing this stuff, guys. It's like, I don't know. There's part of me where I'm like, you know, you have this or that, where you think what might sell or what might, you know, have appeal, and from a marketing perspective and all this kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, I think what we need to do is create things that are fun to do. And as I've spoken at length in the past, this show very much almost drove me crazy. I definitely kind of lost my mind. I had very little sleep over an extended period of time, but I still, more than anything, I just enjoyed the heck out of making this art of such a bizarre B-grade spaghetti western, I don't even know what you'd call it, like schlocky concept. That was just fun for me to do, and that's what I think we all need to focus more on in, you know, creating things and creating art. Like, just enjoy it. That's what my mantra is on this show often. I looping back now, we're in mid-ramble. This is my what's going on in the world of Chris Things segment to start the show. This past weekend was so good, so I finished it up with getting along to the big Scratches Weekend of Tartness weekend this past Sunday. I've seen my show up on the walls a few different times while it's been up there, and it's always really special for me to kind of like sit in the space that I have my show up and get to, you know, have some beers and hang out with some friends and just kind of soak it up. Like, it's just, I don't know, I was thinking about this the other day, I'm like, it's a wanky element maybe of like me wanting to be around that, but also it's like, it's nice. And I don't know, man, it's like, I don't think there's anything wrong with being around stuff that you're proud of making. Maybe that's it. I can see that I put a lot of work into that stuff, so it's nice for me to sort of look and bask at it a little bit, spend some time with it. Doing these kind of art shows, it's like, it's not up there as a permanent thing. This is a temporary exhibition. I was, you know, so honored to be up on that wall for, I think it's basically going to end up being for most of the month of February. It's still up there if you somehow are in Brisbane and you haven't made it along there. Along yet, you may still have a couple more days if you'd like to get into the Scratch and see it for yourself. But yeah, it was just super nice getting to be there, getting to see Scratch. The amazing team at Scratch, the Scratch family, like how much effort they put into this whole Mexican wrestling theming kit out of the Weekend of Tartness, which is their annual sour beer celebration tap takeover festival. There was, you know, incredible outfits. All of the bar staff had dressed up costumes for the occasion. Just so impressive, even including some handmade masks. Oh my gosh, dude. I was just like telling everyone how in awe I was of that wonderful effort that they put in. The whole, like, there was lasers, there was shiny things, there was hand cut out paper masks on the walls, amazing video graphic that the staff all filmed that was playing on the back wall with these trippy things with them all dressed up in their Mexican wrestling outfits. Dude, it was just such a sight to see. And then to have my art as part of that just made me so happy. So that was just amazing. I flew right there from the previous day, Lucha Fantastic in Melbourne. So flew straight from Melbourne to get catch that last day of the weekend of Tartness. And dude, that was another amazing one. I just want to say a massive thank you to everyone in Melbourne, to the amazing team at Lucha Fantastica as well. This, you know, Australian take on the beautiful world of Lucha Libre and Mexican wrestling, celebrating that Mexican culture within sort of like an Australian context, but doing it in such a loving fashion. You know, Señor Fantastico, chef's kiss. You do a fantastic job. There's no party quite like a Lucha Fantastica party. It's insane. It's hilarious. It's just so much fun, and I'm honored to get to go there, have my little art table. I hawk my art. There's a beautiful fusion there, you know, my Lucha Libre art. People getting to see some live local Lucha Libre. It's a beautiful thing. So I just feel lucky to get to do this. I've got to meet so many cool people on that night. If any of you somehow stumbled onto this podcast, I'd like to say hello. I'd like to say welcome, and I'd like to say thank you for the chat, because, you know, even I'm so grateful for anyone who did support in a financial sense, of course, but I love just chatting, you know. That's probably why I do this show, you know. It staves off the insanity as I live a little bit remotely now and in the hills on a dirt road. It's nice for me to, you know, get out and talk to people from time to time. As I love it. So getting to do this and getting to have people come out, come up to my table, have some beautiful chats, and I just am all about it. So if any of y'all did see me there, thank you so much. It was just a beautiful weekend, man, and I was very busy. You know, I flew out Friday afternoon. Got into Melbourne. I caught an incredible screening of one of my very favourite David Lynch movies. There was a screening at the beautiful Astor Theatre of Lost Highway, which I adore that movie. Lost Highway is such an amazing film. I sometimes go back and forth of whether Lost Highway or Blue Velvet are my favourite David Lynch movies, but both are incredible, so that was wonderful to see. It was a one-night-only screening, so I knew, man, I see it or I don't see it, so of course I'm going to see it. And got back to Cousin Ben's house later that night, probably, what was it? I don't know, I think we got home like 12:30, and then, you know, quick sleep, and then bam, straight to it on Saturday, catching the train into Collingwood Town Hall. Get all set up for the show, for Lucha Fantastica. We have a family show and adult show as well. Both are just great in different ways. You know, the family show is so, like, wholesome, just seeing how much kids just celebrate and love Lucha in just the most pure of ways. It's incredible. And then the adult show, obviously, a bit more raunchy, a little bit more blue, as I say. But it was great. I had a fantastic weekend. Thank you so much. And let's get on to some Match of the Week goodness. All right. Over to Chris and Brad in the studio. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We're back for the Match of the Week doubleheader this time. I don't think there's ever a time anymore now we just do one Match of the Week. All of the things happening, but that's okay. But today, I'm very excited to be talking about the two Matches of the Week here with my dear pal Bradley. Welcome to the show, Brad.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me back again.
Oh. Man, I'm always delighted to have you on the show, and I think I'm extra delighted now that I live up in the hills, and we don't get to necessarily catch up as much as we usually would with our wrestling hangs and movie hangs and such, so it's nice for me to be able to have an excuse to talk to you on this thing.
It is, and I know you're keen on my opinions on one of these matches in particular, so glad we get the chance to chat about it.
Oh, certainly. Extra keen. I just mentioned to you that I'm going to endeavour to do a 45-minute time limit on this gimmick. But one of my favourite things when we catch up is we have a little bit of movie talks. So this is probably catching a little bit out of left because I didn't mention anything about this before. But I wanted you to know, on the final day of it being, screening, I actually got to catch the I guess not so new anymore Nosferatu movie that I know you were quite enthused about. So much so that did you end up doing your Eggsgiving tribute to Robert Eggers?
We did, yeah. We watched The Witch, The Lighthouse, and The Northman all on one day, with the idea that we'd watch those three before seeing Nosferatu at the cinema. But then I won tickets to see Nosferatu early, so I ended up watching Nosferatu and then the first three. But went back and saw Nosferatu again anyway. So I did celebrate my Eggsgiving.
Delightful, delightful. Can I ask, was the combination of all those things, was that kind of a dark day in terms of like having a solemn kind of like appropriate eggy tone there?
A little bit. I think The Lighthouse is funnier than you would think just looking at it from the outside. So that sort of broke up sort of the grimness of it all. And like even those first three movies, like The Witch is grim. The Lighthouse is grim but sort of funny. It's a dark comedy. And then The Northman's sort of like your more action, sort of epic sort of thing. So it's like similar underlying tones, but like the genre of film's a bit different. So it was still it was a fun day.
I like that very much. I was very sad that I wasn't able to be part of that. I think looking back, that was probably the beginning of me losing my mind with all of the things that I had on starting from late last year up till now. Dude, that sounded just wild. And then I was so excited to finally see Nosferatu. Finally did, literally the last day it was showing at the cinema. I got to go to the Nambour Cinema to see this one. Bought a ticket for $10, which I was quite enthused about. But man, it was so awesome. It's funny watching like Nosferatu because obviously like, you know the story. So it's sort of like interesting to sort of see what, the director's gonna bring to it that's different. But I really enjoyed it. In some ways I didn't quite know what to expect, but overall I thought it was just like a really nice representation of the source material. But also like doing something a bit different with it. And yeah, I really, really had a lot of fun watching it.
Yeah, I think I also didn't really know what to expect. So that's part of why I went back to see it again, and other people wanted to see it. Because I've never seen original Nosferatu or any, I think there's one or two other remakes as well. So I didn't know the exact story. Like I've seen Dracula movies, so I knew the Dracula story, but not sort of what changes or how Nosferatu is necessarily different.
Right.
Just knowing, sort of seeing it the second time, like, okay, I understand what the story's going to be now, and just getting to enjoy sort of the vibe of it all as well a bit more.
Yeah, to like enjoy like the performances as well was something that was like super cool. Like just so many just incredible, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe it. It was so much fun.
Yeah. Aaron Taylor-Johnson being delightful. Between that and Craven, what a way to end the year.
Great. I haven't seen Craven.
Oh, my goodness. For whatever reason, this is just like because of comic book stuff leading into it. It's like I was just super psyched to see Craven. I ended up taking a few people to like the gold class Craven for my birthday because I was like, we're seeing the best version of Craven we can.
I will say I was a big fan of the amazing Spider-Man series of the 90s, the animated series.
Yep.
So Craven, I do remember him as a pretty badass villain slash sort of guess becomes a hero kind of deal, right?
Not really. I think they just have to make him a hero in the movies because they don't want to do Spider-Man. So like we can't just have a movie about a bad guy. So we'll make him sort of good.
Right.
And then he does a German suplex on a leopard, so that was cool as hell.
Man, all right. I was unsure about Marvel movies, but man, German suplex on a leopard, that's pretty delightful. All right, okay, now into business. We do have two matches to discuss here, and as you mentioned, one of them especially, I'm extra enthused to talk to you specifically about. So just as a little background, I think I might have even mentioned this when I did the last show with Ben, or maybe some of our general conversations, but I thought this Atlantis versus Dr. Wagner Jr. match from March 6th, 2001 in Arena, Mexico, I thought it is just the absolute best introduction for the general world of Lucha Libre for anyone, regardless of your levels of how much you like Lucha. I'm like, you can't watch this and not get some sort of joy out of it. And I thought of you specifically because I don't want to paint you as any sort of hater here, but I know for a fact, of all of the styles of wrestling out there, the one that's probably not your cup of tea, as you've mentioned to me before, is probably Lucha Libre. So that's why I was like, all right, let's take this Lucha Scrooge and we'll have a bit of a chat about this match that I adore. And I wanted to see what you thought of it. But to start with, so what if you had to say, is it about Lucha that stylistically is not necessarily your cup of tea compared to other kind of wrestling?
It's the impact of a lot of stuff, I think. And like, this is obviously not going to be the case for all Lucha forever. It's sort of like the broad stroke sort of thing. But just to like, when I generally categorize it, it's like it always seems sort of a bit soft and bouncy, and the strikes aren't the strikes, and like the strikes is the thing that I enjoy most in wrestling, like the big hard strikes. So like Lucha, that's obviously not the focus, and so between that and sort of some of the ways they sort of, they're just rolling through a lot of stuff, it feels like sometimes, like it doesn't have the impact that I particularly enjoy in wrestling.
A fair statement. And you know what? When I had Josh on the show and we were talking, you know, some of the Lucha matches, I think that Cavernario versus Mascara Dorada match, he made the same point. And, you know, this is someone, I think, you know, Josh probably enjoys that nice hard-hitting style of wrestling, you know, running the Keeping It Strong style podcast and such. But yeah, he did mention about, you know, it is a bit lighter, it is a bit more loose, you know, if we're talking about sort of the grappling and more sort of like technical holds sort of element. And I've mentioned to you before, I kind of like, for whatever reason, I think it's just because of how much love that I have for this weird world, I kind of give it a pass on so much of that stuff because I'm just like, well, it's Lucha, you know, it's like, this just kind of is what it is.
Yeah, and like, so when I say it, I don't mean Lucha's bad. I just mean Lucha's not for me. So I'm like, yes, I understand. That's the style of wrestling. If people went to Lucha and it started being sort of this really hard-hitting sort of strong style match, that would be wrong. That's not what you're watching that for. So yeah, I don't say it in that it's not good. It's just not my preferred style. So it generally takes a bit extra for me to be won over by a Lucha match as compared to like a New Japan style or, you know, the super indie style. Like they're the two that I'm like, yeah, that's sort of the stuff that's my go-tos for what I really enjoy.
Yeah. And I think that's very fair. There's some parts of me where I'm like, is Lucha just like the future of all of wrestling? Like, is so much of it where I watch it and I'm like, especially what you said about like a lot of the rolling through on moves rather than taking like harsh flat back bumps all the time. Like there's a lot of it where I watch it and I'm like, I think there's a reason why we have these like sick old man luchadors in their like early to mid 60s, like still doing it and still killing it. Compared to, you know, like Ben and I were comparing like Keiji Muto and Blue Panther. And I think Blue Panther is actually older than Keiji Muto, but like, compare these two men and their knees, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like for their longevity, yes, I'm sure Lucha's better. For my entertainment though.
Want to see motherfuckers killing one another and retired by the age of 35.
Look, Chris, look, I don't want to call you a hypocrite, but I think you're very much into a style of wrestling where motherfuckers are going to be out of it by the age of 35.
This is true. This is true. I'm a bit of a sadist with some of the wrestling and the shoot style things and the high frequency of concussion in the things that I adore. But yeah, what can I say? I'm just a hypocrite.
That's you just like a broad range of stuff.
But so this match I thought was fun to talk about today because this is my first ever one where I've had the same match of the week 2 weeks in a row. I mentioned it on my when I did the post on Instagram, my little caption, how, you know, this thing is meant to just be the match that I enjoyed the most in the week that I recorded it. Obviously did this the Atlantis versus Dr. Wagner Jr. match was a key part of the All Lucha Wrestling Club. And then, you know, I watched on that night and I was like, this is just amazing. And then I watched it again for when I did the podcast with Ben. And, you know, rewatched it to get it extra fresh in my mind. And then I was again, like, on this rewatch, this is again the best thing that I've watched this week. So it ended up being two matches of the week in a row. I tried to do something a little bit different visually for this one, because I guess the first thing we should probably talk about when it comes to this match is maybe one of the greatest lead-in segments in the history of wrestling for a professional wrestling match, I feel. It's delightfully campy scene in Dr. Wagner's doctor's office that he just happens to have in Arena, Mexico, I guess. I guess he sees patients during the day. Yep. When he's preparing for his match, for whatever reason, his nurse secretary brings in some sort of scans. He opens it up, and lo and behold, these scans are not scans. They're a picture of his hated foe, Atlantis. He gets angry. and we lead on to the match.
Before he even opened it up, and I'm just like, just the fact that Dr. Wagner Jr. is apparently a real doctor, I'm just like, this is pretty fantastic, I think. And then, yeah, the reveal of the picture inside, I'm like, he's just going to be so mad at him now. How did he sneak that into the scans folder?
The nurse is surprised. The nurse is like, I don't know how that got in there. Everyone's outraged. Oh man, I mean this one was a little bit of something different, probably the first of a match of the week if we're like talking about more the illustration component of where it hasn't actually been like the match itself. I thought in doing it for a second time around I could have a little bit of more license to do something interesting, so tried to do a little bit of a, you know, an ode to this wonderfully weird segment of Wagner and this picture of Atlantis and the nurse, and it was a lot of fun to kind of change it up.
Yeah, I really like the art. It's, and because you've got the picture there, you end up getting, you know, both wrestlers in your artwork, even though it's just about Dr. Wagner is the only wrestler there, because the picture's in there. You got both. You get to see both of their cool masks, and yeah, I was pretty happy with this second piece of artwork you did. It's real nice.
Thank you. Onto the match itself, like I obviously spoke at length with it with Ben the other week, and we spoke about, you know, a lot of the things that are just so wonderful about this match. I think like an interesting thing that Ben brought up, that I'm wondering whether this is something that maybe makes this a bit more palatable for yourself. I mean, he mentioned maybe a bit more of like a Japanese kind of edge to the style of this match. Obviously, Dr. Wagner Jr. doing a heck of a lot of stuff in Japan between his stuff in the old Hamada's UWF promotion and through Michinoku Pro and then New Japan. I feel like at this point, he's probably one of those early people of like mixing that kind of like Lucha Rasu style, I guess. Did it feel much more Japanese style to you?
It definitely felt, I wouldn't have necessarily categorized it as Japanese style, but that's probably where it came from. It definitely felt like a lot less of the stuff I don't enjoy about Lucha, like a lot less of the soft rolly through stuff. Like there was a lot more solid impacts and not necessarily hard hitting, but it didn't feel soft and bouncy.
Nice. This also is a match that took place not long either before or after the very famous match between Atlantis and Villano Tercera. That was the big match of the year of 2000, match that a lot of people have said sort of like greatest lucha match of all time kind of stuff. And this one definitely gave me some shades of that, in the sort of that side of Atlantis with the big epic kind of match, epic storytelling. I mean, a very different style with this sort of like heavyweight dramatic style of lucha as well, compared to, I guess, what a lot of other sort of like Westerners might see as that lucha and like small flippy dudes doing like real fast paced high spots, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's probably what I liked about it as well, because it is that bit of a more heavyweight style than it's a bit more solid.
Yeah.
And so I like none of the moves were sort of putting me off or taking me out of it at all, and so I just got to enjoy sort of the match structure a bit more and like just the fun like heelishness of Dr. Wagner Jr. Like essentially that first whole fall was just like he cut him off from behind him on the ramp, which is, I'm like, how did he get back there? Was there a second Dr. Wagner? Did he just run back after he got to the ring? I don't know what happened, but it was great because he just showed up behind Atlantis on the ramp and then, yeah, like just beat him up for the whole first fall. I don't think Atlantis got anything in before that first pinfall, which, so like I really enjoyed just that heel work to start the match.
Yeah, and that's another reason why I think I mentioned it, Ben, as well. Like, I just love the 2 out of 3 falls when done really well in a lucha setting. Like, it's not meant to be you're seeing 3 matches in a row. It's like you're seeing one match that's broken up into 3 falls, and you sort of, like, break down the match structure through those falls. So I think it can be so much more effective being able to, you know, peak the, you know, that early like cut off heat sort of like bit with, you know, beating him, you know, then and there. So then it builds up something you can use as a near fall later on. And, you know, we got Atlantis's like comeback and triumphant, like, you know, getting him up for the Atlantida in very, very quick short order, I feel, in that second fall. And I just think it works so much better than just a single fall. It gives you so much more, you know, sort of tools to play with, I guess.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think it's better, but like one of the notes I wrote down is like, it does make me want to see more 3-fall matches because, the structure of it was super fun. It's like, I don't necessarily need that for every match, but like with it in Lucha being sort of the standard match type, I guess, like it means, they get to work with that. Whereas like even, like when they do 3-falls matches in American companies or Western companies, like that first fall feels like it's supposed to, like you don't give away the first fall that easily because then that feels like it takes away from a singles match. Whereas, like you were saying with the Lucha, it's part of the whole match. So it's like, the first fall might go a bit easier. And like you can justify that for whatever reasons. Like you don't kick out of something that, is you don't fight through when you could have that quick break afterwards type thing,
or for whatever game. You're not taking all the damage early on because you know all right, let's just quickly give up to this and then recoup and come back harder for the next bit.
And so when you've got the 3 falls as your sort of standard structure, then that lets you do that without having to over-explain it every time, which would be the one downside of more 3-falls matches in, say, WWE or whatever. You'd be like, oh, they would need to explain that every time, which would just get boring, tiresome.
Yeah, I think so. I think another thing that I mentioned to you that I really loved and I thought there'd be no way you would not be able to enjoy was sort of like how hot and energetic the crowd was throughout this. It was like one of the best, most like great atmosphere crowds I've ever kind of seen. Like everyone is just, you know, acting like this is the biggest and coolest, best thing they've ever been a part of, and just super duper psyched. We just have an electric atmosphere, like the general vibes, you know, I really loved. And I think both men's like charisma, in terms of, you know, just amazing heelish bad guy charisma with Dr. Wagner Jr. and just one of the greatest pure you know, babyface like technico kinds of charisma that I've ever seen in Atlantis. So it really kind of gives me sort of like those Ricky Steamboat kind of like pure babyface kind of vibes.
Look, I'm gonna break your heart a little bit here.
Oh no!
One of my notes here is it's too much noise. maybe I'm just feeling old and cranky, but I'm just like, it just never let up. And so there's like, when it's all noise all the time, I feel like the noise stops meaning anything. So it was just like, I won't argue about Atlantis babyface charisma. Like, that's absolutely true. But like the crowd noise, it's like, just, you can stop for a bit, like let them work for a bit and then cheer when something happens. That would be good too.
But we're not a fan of
just
the
nonstop and the cowbells or whatever it is in the background.
Cowbells, the air horn, was that not your cup of tea?
Not so much.
I've made a decision. Every wrestling show I come from now on, I'm bringing a cowbell and an air horn. And
all right, just let me know which ones that are, and I'll stay home.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh man.
But I did enjoy Atlantis's charisma. But like I more enjoyed Dr. Wagner Jr.'s heel shtick in general. Like, I don't know. I probably because we had the intro video with him, and so like I'm getting mad at the picture showing up in his scans. And so from then on, I'm just on Dr. Wagner's side. I'm just like, how dare Atlanta? The sanctity of this medical profession has been sullied. Dr. Wagner Jr. should be mad.
How did he get in my scans? I have patients to see. Oh man, I love Dr. Wagner Jr., dude. I'm clearly a big fan of his son as well, now too, in EO Del Dr. Wagner Jr. But yeah, Dr. Wagner Jr. is one of those dudes where he was probably a key part of my early love for the world of Lucha Libre. And I watched back a match like this, and it sort of reminds me exactly why, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen him before, just because I don't watch a lot of Lucha. But yeah, I definitely enjoyed him in this match quite a bit.
Oh, Bradley, I know one other match that you saw him in, and you did say quite good things about.
Oh, there you go. Was it from Wrestling Club, the one before last, that bloody match?
The one with an unmasked Dr. Wagner Jr. In a hair versus mask match against Blue Demon in a terrifically ridiculous bloodbath that involved a hammer. Does that ring a bell for you?
That does ring a bell. And I did enjoy that match. So there you go. I do like Dr. Wagner Jr. Consistent.
Still great with or without mask and in the prime of his career versus in the twilight, I would say.
Yeah.
Also, just such a cool look. Like, you look at him with the mask kind of look, and you're like, man, that look cannot be topped. And you look at him with, like, sort of the graying hair and that sort of, like, real sort of, like, handsome, like, older Mexican gentleman kind of aesthetic and the crazy eyes. Like, he's got a cool look regardless of mask or no mask, I feel.
Yeah, just looking at a picture now, it's like, that's a handsome dude. Nice white beard now. Wow.
And I'm very happy now we get to see sort of a bit of a run by the sounds of it with him and his son in AAA. Not that much good happens in AAA these days, but I am hopeful that they're going to bring it back.
Okay, good. Good luck to them.
All right.
Can I just quick point out a spot in this match? Like, it was just, it's not even a massive thing, but that Dr. Wagner Jr. pulls Atlantis out sort of over the apron and then slams his head down into it near the start of the match. I'm like, that's really cool. I like that. And then later on, Atlantis does it back to him. And I'm like, because I'd enjoyed the spot earlier, I'm like, I don't understand why that wasn't the biggest pop of the night. Like him getting it back on Dr. Wagner Jr. The crowd was like just doing all the noise that they had been the whole time. But I mean, no, that should have been the loudest pop. That was, it's just standard like babyface getting it back sort of thing. But for that one spot, I'm just like, yeah, get him, smash his head into that apron.
Oh, so good, so good. And like in the same way that the bit with the mask tearing, you know, it's like he's not afraid to give this bad guy his own medicine. And the crowd's just like goes banana for it.
And then there was also that really sweet Michinoku driver near the end.
Oh, which, the Wagner driver, so good.
Wagner driver, which when we get into our next match, also a super sweet Michinoku driver. I'm just like, this is the linking thing between the matches. It's just these people getting dropped on their heads in sweet Michinoku drivers.
Can I ask? So obviously this might be something that's like might not necessarily make sense as much for people that are less familiar with Lucha. But for the finish of this one, so big part of it was Wagner hitting that big crazy looking Wagner driver, but it was at such a high angle that it looked like there was conjecture over whether it was actually the dreaded band Martinete, which is a tombstone pile driver, which is very much banned and an instant disqualification in the world of Lucha. They do a tremendous job of protecting the pile driver there, or at least they used to. Of anyone who gets it, they get strapped up and carried out on a stretcher. It's, you know, a very, very serious thing if someone breaks out a Martinete. So it looked like there was a moment when the referee was deliberating on whether that was actually a Martinete or not. And in the time that he was doing so, that was where Atlantis was quickly able to take advantage of the situation, which I thought was a really cool finish, actually. But I wasn't sure whether that would 100%... makes sense to you know, if you're watching it without sort of much of a Lucha nerddom.
No, I had no idea. Like they did the replay of the driver a couple of times, but I thought they were just replaying it because it was really high angle and it looked cool. But yeah, that extra context actually really adds to the end, because yeah, like they do the replay and the commentary, which I didn't understand, just like obviously talking about it, and then I guess the fact that Atlantis in wins with the roll-up, a small package, I don't remember exactly the move, but like a roll-up type thing after that. It's like, oh, because like he almost got dropped on his head with this banned move. So like he's the fact that he can still pull it out is impressive, but also it makes sense that he's not just going to, you know, get up and do something back to him. But it also gives the ref having to sort of make a judgment call on it, gives the reason why Dr. Wagner Jr. is not just, you know, getting a pin, trying to go for a pinfall off it straight away either.
Yeah, no, like Wagner's arguing with the ref, like, no, it wasn't a Martinette.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was very, very cool.
That is cool. I do like that. That's some extra context that, yeah, I like that.
That's what I'm here for. That's one of the things I really love about Lucha. The more you get into it, like any good wrestling, there's all like the lore of it. There's like the history, and it is something that respects its history, and they play into that a lot of the time. But yeah, very cool. Very cool match. Any other thoughts before we move on to our second match of the evening?
Only that, like, yes, I enjoyed that match. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to be an absolute Lucha hater ever, because there's definitely matches in there I enjoy. But then making me watch this next match after it, or having me rewatch this next match after it, I'm just like, yeah, but this is what I really like.
Well, we did it in the right order. I've often said that you can never go from like hard hitting Japanese wrestling to Lucha. You have to do it the other way. You have to start with the Lucha, and then you escalate to the really stiff, vicious stuff. And I don't think you can find a more stiff and vicious match than what followed this. So this was what I had as the main event of my latest wrestling club, which I was so stoked you were able to be there for, Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if I didn't include that crazy good low-key versus amazing red match that we both love so dearly, I assume there's a chance this might have ended up being your favorite match of the evening.
Especially after this rewatch, I'm like, yeah, maybe I should have picked this as my favorite. I think just at the time, because of the nostalgia for low-key and red, I'm just like, I just had a big smile on my face as soon as I knew what the match was. So I didn't, so like rewatching, it was just like anything they did was just made me happier and happier. But this match, having seen it for the first time at Wrestling Club and then rewatched it again today, it's like, oh, this is really good though. This is a pretty sick match.
It's a tall order to say, I think this is my favorite Aja Kong match of all time. But even taller order for me to say now, I mean, I'd probably have to watch that exploding barbed wire one with Megumi Kudo one more time to see where I end up. But I think after watching this is probably my favorite women's wrestling match of all time. Like, this just had a level of intensity. Hang on, before I go too far, the official introduction here, this is Tremendous Match took place at the Gaia promotion, the same one that the Tremendous Gaia Girls documentary was based off of, at Gaia Big Destruction Day 2 on the 13th of February of the year 2000 at Corican Hall, was the main event of the show for the AAAW Championship that Aja Kong is the champion at this point. I believe they'd wrestled a few times in the past, but this is definitely the match of this that takes the cake. And man, like, watching this is a match that I think I will never forget for the rest of my wrestling watching days.
Oh, there's just so much rad stuff in it, but rad stuff with the story that they're weaving through it as well. And so, yeah, like, I've got a bad memory in general, but I'm sure next time if you tell me, oh, do you remember that Aja Kong versus Kaoru match? I'll be like, ah, maybe. And you'll be like, the one where she works the bloody arm? And I'm like, yeah, yes, I remember that match. That was fucking cool.
Oh my gosh. When I watched it on the second time, I think I noticed more that Aja Kong also knocked a bunch of her teeth out of Kaoru's teeth during this match.
Yeah, I saw that near the end. She's like, they did the close up on Kaoru's face, and she's got a tooth missing from like one of her, not the two front teeth one, but like the next one along. It's like, oh shit, I don't know when that happened, but doesn't surprise me with how hard she's been hit in the head.
That really says something for this match. There are various points that those teeth could have been knocked out, and it's like,
yeah,
the fact that we can't think of which one exactly it is probably a testament to the real physical vibe of this match. But I mean, one of the other things that stood out to me on rewatch, I didn't notice how badass the start was of, like, her going for the handshake. Aja Kong, in a rare show of humanity and sportsmanship, decided, you know what, I respect you enough to shake your hand, only for Kaoru to make her regret that, immediately give the giant woman that is Aja Kong a sick German suplex, dive to the outside of the ring. We were off to the races. This match just never looked back.
Yeah, and that hot start led into the story of the rest of the match. It was like, after the dive to the outside, she hits the moonsault, and then she sets up the table, which she goes to do a senton on Aja Kong through. Kong moved, and so the table just gets shattered. But then that table and the pieces of the table, like, is through the rest of the match.
Oh my gosh. I think I mentioned at the wrestling club, this is almost like, I feel like the female version of one of those incredible, like, Mike Awesome versus Masato Tanaka matches. Like, the amount of legs that they got out of this table and just smashing the bits of the table over one another's head in quite a brutal fashion. The blood, like, Kaoru just bleeds a gusher in this one. And
yeah,
I want to compliment this. I assume it was a blade job, but who knows? It just really looked like she had been through some shit. Like, it wasn't one of these blade jobs that sort of, like, you know, stops bleeding after a little bit and, you know, kind of, you know, wipe it and it's gone away. This was the kind of blade job where she looks like she's been in a car accident. And it just gets worse and more gnarly as the match goes on.
Yeah, her face gets absolutely covered. And it really works for, like, what I think sort of the story or the sort of the overall, maybe not the story, but like the vibe of the match, where Kaoru she ends up working Kong's arm. And she's, like, on top of Kong for a long part of the match. Like, she's wearing down that arm. But, like, with that blood on her face and with Kong being Kong, you just know, like, that even though Kong's at the disadvantage, it's not going to take much for her to just be straight back in it.
Yeah, I thought that was Kaoru really looks unique. Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, because Kaoru looks like she's using everything she has just to, like, to keep Kong at bay.
Yeah, 100%. It was quite unique. Like, I thought the overall story of this match I think I mentioned it in my write up of it, sort of this unbeatable force monster that we know and love as Aja Kong, becoming human through this match, and Kaoru, and they did it in such a believable manner. I feel like you look at the two of them. Aja Kong is just this giant woman. Kaoru, much smaller by comparison. And, you know, sometimes you watch those matches where it's like the, you know, David versus Goliath thing, and you really have to stretch the bounds of your imagination to believe that the David in that situation is, you know, getting the better of the monster. In this one, the way they did it, I thought, was so plausible and so believable. And just so well done that I was like, this is just one of the best things I've ever seen. Like, and especially, like, Aja Kong showing that sort of, you know, humanity and, like, vulnerability. Like, she's even, you know, she's at the edge of her rope of, like, whether she's about to tap out. She's, like, screaming at a certain point. Some tremendous selling in that way where, you know, selling in a way that doesn't make her look weak, but it just enhances the overall match, and she's still an absolute monster. I just thought it was such an interesting dynamic at play there. And then you're right, like, when she does finally, like, get back on top, it's in pretty short order.
Yeah, it's never like, oh, she needs to work back. It's just like she's just got to find that opportunity and then just Kong all over her to just, like, take her down in usually one or two really strong looking hits. Oh, that time she kicked her in the head and then did the back fist. Like, Jesus Christ. So nasty.
Oh my gosh. I also love, like, they did a great job of building up little different pieces through this, like almost like that lucha thing that we were saying before of, like, teasing something in the early falls and then paying it off later on. We saw that in a few instances. I remember, like, where initially, like, Kaoru goes to give her the big back sent on through the table on the outside, and Aja Kong's just like, fuck you, nope, just leaves, and she just spectacularly goes through that table. Like, she finally hits that, like, later on, near the latter part, and that was, like, such a great, like, crowd reaction, because, yeah, you know, she missed it early on, she finally hits it here. I think, was it the same thing when she was going for the jumping off the top rope on top of her arm on it with a piece of wood on it?
Yeah, yes. I was trying to rack my brain for what the second thing was. Yeah, the moonsault onto the table, like, with the table piece onto the arm.
Yeah.
I think the second one is when she hit it with the table piece, but, yeah, she'd missed the moonsault before that. So, yeah, there was a couple of ones where, yeah, missed it the first time, but once she'd worn down Kong enough, she was able to get back to it.
Yeah, I just Man, there's so much about this to love. Like, it's rare when you have a match that's so crazy in its, like, bits and pieces, but also, like, the overall story of it is so good. Like, a lot of the time you think of your real, like, storytelling matches, and they're not, like, the most insane, you know, hard-hitting kind of... I mean, depending on what you're talking about. If we're talking about, like, Misawa Kawada or something, different story. But you know what I mean? Like, a lot of the time your storytelling matches are different to your crazy, batshit insane matches. And this one was just, like, the best of both for me.
Yeah. Because, like, with the story of Kaoru, like, working the arm of Kong, like, she starts doing it by using that table edge to stab into Kong's arm, which is, that's a nasty-ass spot, but that leads into all the arm work that goes on for the next, you know, few minutes after that, where she just keeps working this arm that she's ripped open with the edge of a table. Oh, it's, man. Like,
it made it so much better, the fact of, like, the bleeding arm, like, whether it's the, I don't know whether it was legitimately the spiky bit of the table that did that, or whether she actually, like, you know, nicked her arm with the blade to get that going. But either way, I just thought that was such a really cool visual of the, like, blood running down the arm while she's working it over.
Yeah. And then seeing, I'm not sure if I saw this or whether I just wanted to see it, but seeing the blood on the edge of the table as well.
Yes.
Might have just been the grain of the wood, but I'm pretty sure there was blood on the jagged edge of that table. And it looks nasty.
Man, I really struggled on this one to pick the moment itself for the illustration. I swear I went back and I, like, went over it almost, like, frame by frame to really try to shortlist the cooler moments and cooler visuals for me. But it, in a way, I think it had to be about the arm. You know, obviously, like we're saying, the story is really much about it. But yeah, I think it ended up for me trying to capture that thing that I was saying of, you know, Aja Kong, that, like, you know, screaming, and sort of the monster becoming human in that little moment. Also, I really like that visual because it sort of visually captures this rad, you know, crimson mask of Kaoru. But
plus the bloody arms of Kong. Yeah.
It was a lot of fun to do. Aja Kong is very fun to draw, in case anyone's playing at home and wants to do some art of Aja Kong. A lot of really, like, distinctive features, super cool, unique kind of, like, body shape to work with as well. She was just such a cool, like, a visually cool wrestler in addition to being one of the most badass wrestlers of all time.
Yeah, like the lady version of Vader in terms of how fun she is to draw, and also in how hard she hits.
Yes, I would agree with that 100%. I actually had Vader in the back of my mind when you were saying that. Yeah, dude, it's just it was actually a bit of a challenging one to draw from sort of, like, a technical standpoint, because, like, with the sort of Jujigatami, like, armbar, whatever, it was, like, sort of a lot of different bits and angles and limbs and things at play, and the referee sort of, like, leaning over as well. It's kind of fun to have those challenges at this point of, you know, I don't know how many we're in, but a decent amount.
I can imagine, like, especially before you got the chance to put the colours on there, like, when it's all just black and white, and so the limbs are just sort of tying into each other. It's like, you got to be able to discern that in your head. Like, once we get to see the finished art with the color on there, it's like, oh, yeah, I can tell Aja Kong's got that darker skin tone, so I can see where her arm is in Kaoru's grip. But, yeah, when you're doing your pen drawings to start, I imagine that's makes it even more difficult, just having limbs and nothing to differentiate them properly.
Oh yeah, just a lot of lines all over the place.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was little bit challenging at certain bits of, like, getting the right sort of, like, because stuff can look so wrong, like, if it just gets the littlest bit screwed up. And I really try my best with these to never get to a point where it gets so screwed up that I have to start again, because I try to capture like the roughness in the finished product. But there was a bit where I was like, I normally sort of go over the lines like quite lightly with the ballpoint pen, like, well, when I'm sort of like just getting kind of the rough composition together. So I almost treat it like I do a light ballpoint pen sketch the same way you'd kind of like do with a pencil, if you like do it, you know, pencil before you go over it with pen. I think there was a bit where I was like, oh man, I really screwed up, like how far, like her head's meant to be away from the arm. This looks just like really wrong. So I had to sort of like adjust it like on the fly. And it all worked out, but yeah, there's a few dicey moments there, but I was pretty happy. Sometimes the ones where you have a little bit of a challenge with it, it feels a bit more like you've accomplished something when you get it done, you know?
Yeah. Well, it looks really cool. So you did a good job with it in the end.
Thank you very much, Bradley. I actually just realized I still haven't put that one on my website. I've still got to do that. So I'll get that done in the near future. So if anyone at home would like to check it out on the website, possibly even buy a print ski of it, you'll be able to probably by the time this episode comes out on christhinks.com.au. Any other thoughts on the match itself, Brad, before I have one other thing I have to speak to you about?
I want to just quickly on the end, just because it ties into the arm stuff that like ran through the match and we've already chatted about, like the very finish of the match, which there's a really cool visual where Kong wipes her arm, so the blood on her arm, and then sort of wipes it on her face, replacing the face paint that had been worn off in the match. So she's just got this bloody face paint, which leads into then her hitting like instead of just the spinning back, this is like a spinning Polish hammer. She uses the two arms because her arm's been weakened from all the work from Kaoru. So she had to double it up and then cracks that into the side of Kaoru's head to beat her. And I'm like, that's super cool that she had to do that to win. And I really like the finish as well. It was good.
Oh man, the whole thing just like it really hammered home like the, you know, the agony that she'd been through and the fact that she needs to use the other arm to help her you know, injured arm. Oh man, I just thought there's so many little things that we'll probably watch this like five more times. And it would just get better and better every time. So I will heartily tell everyone that they need to go out of their way to watch this tremendous match. I would hope that you've already done it, but if not, please do yourself a favor. Pretty easy to find online, but I'll also be including it in the next newsletter that I'll have coming out. It has the full playlist of the latest wrestling club. So if you want yourself some Loki versus Amazing Red action, that's the one that opened up as well. So christhinks.com.au/contact is the place you can sign up for that bad boy. But Brad, I needed to make mention that on our Zed Wrestling Club, this was while I have the current solo show up at Scratch, my Luchadors versus Alien Invaders concept kind of silly show up. I was so delighted, and I'll make sure to include the picture of this when I post this episode, of your lovely ode to the Alien Mexican Wrestling Cowboys motif that I've been leaning into of late with this thing. With an amazing like Clint Eastwood Psychosis illustration that you put together, is that what you were going for there?
Not specifically Clint Eastwood. Just I wanted the poncho because I'm like, oh, if he's a Mexican wrestler, he might have the poncho on. But yeah, which makes it look very Clint Eastwood in Good, Bad, and Ugly or Fistful of Dollars style look. But yeah, man, When I see your arts go up for those, I'm just like, especially when you've got the cool concept behind, I'm just like, I want to do something. You make me want to draw, man.
Oh, that's what this whole thing's about. That is what makes me real happy in general with, you know, the reason why I do this podcast. And I think, you know, I obviously have a lot of fun doing this stuff. So if that can spread to be any sort of thing to make others want to create and draw or whatever. That is, that always makes me just absolutely delighted. So I was so happy to see that, man. And I also, like, you did the same for, like, when you came to my birthday and that amazing hand-drawn birthday card that you did. I should share that one at some point. I've still got it. I'll never throw that one away. Always appreciate it, man. So good.
No, not a problem. What was on the birthday card? I don't remember. Was that the Spaceman Blue Panther? Maybe? I think it was the Blue Panther astronaut one. Thing.
That is it. I think there's actually been a couple now.
That seems likely. I like to hand draw some birthday cards for people.
Well, I always adore them. So good, so good. Well, Bradley, thank you so much. Everyone, make sure to check out D Grahan Art. I'll be tagging it in the episode below. Also on my Insta post for the episode. But I always have so much fun having you on the show, my dude.
Thank you so much. I enjoy being here.
Alrighty. Well, great episode, and I look forward to having you back on again soon.
All right. I'll see you later, man.
All right. Catch you later, friend. Bye.
Bye.
All right. What a lovely time. I love chatting to my pal Brad. I'm glad we got to talk a little bit of movie goodness. And also, of course, his art. I really, really meant that when I said about how much joy it gives me to, you know, be any sort of motivation for anyone to want to get their drawing on, get their art on, make things. Man, it can be anything. Do like a, I don't know, a plasticine wrestler or... I don't know. Whatever it might be that you do in a creative manner. Write a song about wrestling. Wrestling art can be anything, guys. But yeah, I've had a few different listeners over the years who have reached out to me and given me, you know, different little snippets of their work that they've made that I've somehow motivated or given a little bit of inspiration for, and it's heartwarming. So please continue to do that. Please, if you do any of the wrestling art, send it my way. I love to see it. It makes me really, really happy. So yeah. And also, as I said in the intro, very happy right now having, looking back on the final days of this art show, this solo show that I got to do at Scratch. It's just a really nice feeling, and I hope we get to do more cool stuff in 2025. Stay tuned, I'll have some more announcements. I'm looking forward to this Mexico trip coming up shortly, and I'm sure I'll get a whole bunch more inspiration for some cool stuff coming forward from that trip. But yeah, things are all nice right now, guys. I hope the bugs have been less annoying for you today as well. Make sure to go around the house and close every window in the house to try to reduce that bug noise for you this episode. Hopefully it's made a bit of a difference. I don't know, you listen to the show and you're like, man, that's a height of professionalism. I don't think so. This is probably the most proudly janky, unprofessional podcast there ever is, but hopefully a little bit lovable as well, you know? All right, on that note, I'd like to thank you all for listening. I'd like to thank all who support, who go to christhings.com.au, who buy the things, prints, originals, calendars. If you need a 2025 calendar, I got the one for you. Los Luchadores versus Cowboys de la Muerte Part 2 for all of 2025. Got a couple of those Match of the Week Year 1 books left. And of course, I also do commissions. So if you would like a custom Chris thing of your own, you can reach out to me. You can say, hey, I would like my dog as a luchador for my girlfriend's birthday or whatever it might be. Just a special little something for yourself, you know, nothing wrong with that. But I love doing these things. Yeah, doing commissions for people was a real touching kind of deal where I get to bring their ideas to life. And you know, if I get to do that in a way that, that you know, is meeting up with, I don't know, what they had in their brain originally but brought to life in a weird crisp things manner, that makes them happy, that makes me very happy. So love doing that. If you have any ideas for such things, let me know. We can work out pricing. You know, if you want more detail, it can be a little bit more X-y. If you want something a bit more simple to suit most other budgets, we can make that work too. It's a flexible deal here. But I am having fun, guys. I'd like to also thank the great guys at Social Suplex, socialsuplex.com, the home of a bunch of other Rad Wrestling podcasts, the home of this podcast, keeping the lights on, letting us do this thing. Other Rad podcasts, such as aforementioned, Keeping It Strong Style, with their young boy Josh Smith, close friend of the show there. You know, got One Nation Radio, Trish and Sarah podcast, All Things Elite, the AEW Match Recommendation podcast, Tunnel Talk, Imps WWE Adventure, all the things. So big thanks to Social Suplex. Check out the rest of the guys on there. And this has been a fun episode, guys. I hope you've enjoyed. It's always nice to get back into some nerding out about wrestling, nerding out about lucha, and nerding out about wrestling art, most importantly at all, of all. Man, so we were on a real run there, and then I flubbed it. Oh, well. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I hope you get something out of this rambling nonsense. Anyway, until next week, I'll talk to you later. Enjoy your projects and have a good week. Well, I'll talk to you when I'm back next week. All right. Let's stop talking before I ruin this worse. I do the hammer lock. Bye. Do the hammer lock, you turkey necks.
Your old or broken phone can let you down, but at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.